Now you send me all of them.
Radio.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Created in me a clean heart and purify me. Purify me, create in me a clean heart so I may worship thee. Everybody say yeah.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, brothers. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Amen. Again, brothers, it's a new episode. We're sending you here. You got it through your text, or if you're listening online through the Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page, and you clicked on the link to listen there, or again, if you received it in your phone, in a text message. Again, thank you for listening. I encourage you to share the conversations today, and I encourage you. Also, I want to let you know, we are doing live, if you are free, any of the brothers out there, pastors, elders, deacons, brothers, we'll be doing live from now to the end of the year on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. So if you want to call in and be part of the discussions, you can call 646-668-2636 and join us live in our conversation on Saturday mornings. For the last quarter here of 2020, we're going to be going live on Saturday mornings at 9, so I encourage you to come out and join and be part of that broadcast. As we talk about the issues that affect us as men of God, as husbands, fathers, and sons, to encourage one another, pray for one another, and just and be able to hash out and talk about some of those things that we deal with as Christian men, and also to encourage us in our growth and maturity in Christ in the spiritual walk, that we will be able to stand before him and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And again, just in fellowship. Amen. Also, I want to remind you on Thursdays at 8 p.m., we have a Zoom men's gathering that we're doing weekly as part of our a group of men I'm working with and part of a devotional. We're doing 5- and 7-day devotionals throughout the week to connect, and then we come together on Thursday evenings and discuss them, pray for one another, encourage one another. And again, just gather as men, as brothers, and talk about some of the things that we learn from devotional and the things that's going on in our lives. So if you text me, again, if you text me back, and I can send you the information for that Zoom gathering, every Thursday at 8 p.m., And also you can be part of, you can join us as part of the devotionals that we're reading. We're getting between 5 and 7 day devotionals that we're going over together, and then we come together once a week to discuss them. Amen. So those are some of the things that's going on as we continue to move forward in ministry and reaching the men and where men are, because we know that we go through things as men of God. We have more things in common than we are different. So I just want to encourage you to take part. Hopefully, after the holidays, we're looking to start to gather in person as a men's group on a regular basis. So I'll let you know about those details as they come about. So continue to listen, continue to join, and I pray again something is said tonight that will be encouraging to you. Amen. So tonight I have a special guest, Pastor Lonnie Davis is going to join us, and we're going to talk, we're going to continue the conversation we were talking about before of the commandments of God. In John chapter 14:15, I believe, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So we're going to talk about some of the things that God requires us, that as being Lord and Savior, and what and the things that he taught from Scripture that we as Christians we should be following. These are the things that we as we grow, as we surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit to be obedient to him. This is about obedience to Christ. I know when we first started this, a lot of brothers talk about we're not under the law, we don't keep the commandments, but this is about our obedience once we accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And now his lordship over our lives and what the word says, how we should live and do these things because of who we are. Not for our salvation. I want to be clear. There's nothing we do for our salvation. Our salvation is the free gift and grace of God and through the Holy Spirit. But now we have the word of God to give direction, set the parameters and the blueprints of our lives and where we are and as we grow the more we can be obedient to Christ. And these are some things we're going to talk about tonight, what Scripture teaches, what Jesus himself said in the Gospels, and also what is written in Scripture by Paul and Peter. Amen? So that's what we're going to be doing now from the next couple of episodes. So I encourage you to continue. Again, you go to Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page. Keep track of what we're doing. You can listen to this always. And as always, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr, and you can listen to the archive of all our past shows and some of the other episodes we have been doing. And always, and again, I encourage you to share this with the brothers in your circle of influence, those you may be ministering, mentoring, and discipling, to just encourage them and what it means to be a man of God, and how do we grow in spiritual maturity. We all mature at different levels, but remember, we have to be on that path towards maturity, that we can be at a point where we're serving God and living lives obedient to him, that we will stand before him and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen? Amen. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to bring my guest on, and we're going to go right into the conversation, gentlemen. Again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and my guest tonight will be Pastor Lonnie Davis. Lord, we just say thank you right now, God. We come to you with grateful hearts, God. We take time out in this moment, in this time, in this season, to just say thank you for all that you've done. We thank you, God, for keeping us through the trials and tribulations. We thank you, God, for keeping us through sickness, oh God, and our health issues, oh God. We thank you, God, for just keeping us through our failings and our shortcomings, God. We thank you, God, for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, oh God. We thank you for the remission of sins today, God. We thank you for watching over our children, our wives, our children, our grandchildren, God, those in our circle of influence, our church families, oh God, our natural family, God, even those who do not know you as Lord and Savior, but yet you kept them, Lord God, that is still a chance, oh God, that they would see the light and come to faith in Jesus Christ. So, God, we thank you for that right now, God. Father, we pray today, God, for the prisoners, for the locked up, those in nursing homes, those in rehab centers, those in jails, those in prisons, God. We're praying for their souls right now, that even though their bodies may be restrained, but their souls, oh God, can still be saved, and their souls can be used by you, oh God, right in their circumstance. So we're praying for the salvation of those, oh God. Father, we ask, oh God, that you watch over pastors, elders, and leaders, and all those who labor behind the scenes in ministry, God, that keeps ministry going even through this pandemic, God. We're praying for them. They would not grow weary in their good doing, and they would be strengthened and encouraged by your Spirit, oh God, that they would continue to stand and continue to do and fulfill the purpose and plan you have for their lives. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen, amen. So, gentlemen, again, we're going to be talking about, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And we're going to talk about a couple of the scriptures here specifically. And Pastor Lonnie Davis, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, I can.
Amen, sir. Good evening. Thank you again for joining us, taking time out of your schedule and being part of our conversation tonight, and I appreciate you greatly. How you been?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Good, good. Good to hear. Good to hear. Well, Pastor, I sent you a couple of scriptures, and I'm gonna let you start and jump right in. Wherever you want to go.
I'm gonna go with the one you're talking about.
Amen.
First, I'd like to do a preamble before we get into the particular text. We got to keep always in mind that if we're in the book of John, we're going to keep it in context of what John is trying to tell us that Jesus said. So as we interpret and allow the Holy Spirit to guide, guard, and govern us so that we can receive his word properly, and the truth of his wisdom through his word, the knowledge, understanding, and wisdom of these scriptures, may we be blessed and bless others with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we can take this scripture literally, which means word for word or verbatim, figuratively, which means earthly resemblance, and spiritually. I think spiritually is the highest form of receiving a text through the Holy Spirit. And the scripture that you sent me was John 14:15. But to keep it in context, you got to read 15 to 18. But before we even start that, turn to John 13:34, so you can see what Jesus' command is. Can you read that, Deacon Tom? Deacon Farr? 13:34. John 13:34. I can read it if you want.
Oh, I'm here. No, I got it. I got it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm here. I got you. I was flipping, and then all of a sudden it didn't flip. Oh, here we go. John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I loved you, and that ye also love one another.
So when we go to John 14:15, that's the commandment Jesus is talking about. Amen? Amen?
Sir, yes, sir. Go ahead.
We're keeping it in context. And then when we get to 14:15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So that's referring to John 13:34. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. This whole scripture is allowing us to see Jesus talking about God the Father, who is the external, God the Son, who was the explanation for our salvation, dying on Calvary's cross. He's our example. And then we have the Holy Spirit, our inward spirit that God sends to us once we accept salvation and confess our sins. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. And we are able to ask the Holy Spirit to guide God and govern us so that we can keep the commandment to love one another. Because in the flesh, I don't think a lot of us would have problems loving one another without the guidance
Amen.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I just wanted to share that and then open it up for discussion with you, Deacon Farr.
Amen. Well, you know, yeah, I agree. You know, the commandment that he gave was to love one another. And also, there's other commands that we wanted to look at, too, because he gave us a lot of instruction within the Gospels, even like Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. And some of those things is where we need to fall into obedience. And when he is called as Lord of our lives, there's some things we need to start falling into obedience, which is part of that overall love, because some of the things that he told us to do, I want to touch upon, because we have to look at examine our lives. And are we really living in obedience to him through the Holy Spirit? Again, because we're looking at the Word of God, and so I just wanted some things I wanted to talk about and share, and like you said, dive into. So open up a little bit for understanding. Because without understanding, we are still lost. You know, without really understanding what the word is saying and how we ought to apply it to our lives, we can still be in the church for years and yet stand before him. We thought we was doing everything right and we was living right, but when we're not rightly applying the word, is where we can find ourselves in a place we don't want to be. Amen. So in the midst of that, let's go to, I'm going to touch on a couple other scriptures and see and get your insight and wisdom on those in the application for the brothers. Let's go to, we'll talk about repenting. Let's talk about that, because that's one of the things that God, that Christ has called us to do. One of the commands, one of the things he called in his teaching. It's going to be Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Yeah, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. And he speaks of Oh, wait a minute. There it goes again, man. What's going on with my thing here? All right. Amen. From this time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. And when we talk about repentance and how we apply that, and these are one of the things he's called, because without repentance, you know, where's our salvation if we're not truly repentant of the sins, those sins known and those secret sins that, you know, we keep undercover because we think nobody knows and nobody sees, but yet we are still have not repented of them. We still sneak around. We still, our minds are still not right. What do you say, sir?
Oh, I totally agree. What I believe has happened with a lot of us, we go into the Pauline letters to specific churches, and we pull out the information that Paul was writing to the churches, and as Gentiles, we have accepted a lot of the letters of Paul. It's called Pauline theology. And Jesus and John the Baptist used that text. The gospel, the good news, was that repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that means that once we repent, true repentance, the kingdom of God is at hand for each and every one of us. We can touch it because the Holy Spirit enters into us, as I was talking about earlier. And it's an individual thing first, because 80-some percent of Americans profess Christianity, but they have not confessed Christ. So it's a difference.
Yes, sir.
It's a difference between professing a faith and professing the church and professing your religion, but it's a difference in confessing Christ.
Yes.
Because
yes,
once,
sir. Go ahead.
Once we profess our beliefs, we have to defend our beliefs. That's why we have so many different denominations. That's why you have so many arguments about scripture and text. And the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us that we need to go back to the original teachings of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist asked Jesus why he was in prison. Are you the one that I am waiting for?
Amen.
And, you know, and so all of us are waiting for Jesus through his Holy Spirit to come into our lives and give us that utterance of truth.
Amen, sir. Amen. And that's where, you know, when we talk about it, that call to repentance, that we have to be able to agree, like you said, confess Christ is to believe what he says, believe that you are a sinner in need of salvation. And the things that you're doing, you can't, the thing, he wants you to live a certain way. And that's the only way we can be regenerated and transformed with a new heart and be made new is through our submission and obedience. And as men, sometimes we struggle with that, and we struggle with, you know, it's not us, because, you know, every man wants, you know, I'm the man, I can do what I want, but it's not that. This is what the Christian faith is about as men of God. And again, we have to exhibit this and be examples of this if we're going to call others to follow. If we for our wives, our children, and even our brothers, you know, other men, and even when we evangelize, we have to show our submission to what the Word says, and not look for those, how you say, those spiritual legal loopholes. Amen.
Hey,
so
man,
I think repentance is one of those things. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you totally. I like that terminology, legal loophole, because that's what church folk, I'm going to say, a lot of us church folk look for legal loopholes when we, God will forgive me so I can go ahead and repent. That's not what true repentance is. You want to turn away from your sin and do it no more. Now, if you happen to fall, as the song says, we get back up. However, you shouldn't be falling over and over and over and over and over again.
Amen.
As a man, we have to stand up and acknowledge our weaknesses. I call it SWAT, or they call it SWAT, but I call it SWIS now. We got to acknowledge our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and our let's say threats. I'm going to say or disadvantages. So so once you acknowledge your strength, you can look at those areas where you are strong in the Lord. But you also have to acknowledge those areas where you're weak in the Lord, right? So once you examine yourself, because the Bible says let a man examine himself. And once you examine yourself, and let's say you have a problem, since we're talking to men, let's say you have a problem with women or looking at a woman and lusting after. So what I did when I first repented and came back to Jesus Christ, I had to teach myself and use tools to teach myself to keep from lusting after women, because God has put the lust of the eye in us so that we can look at a woman and be pleased at what we see. And the first thing your mind tell you is, she fat to death. But I had to come up with a tool to be able to say, oh, what a beautiful woman God has made. And once I put God into my mind and in my equation, it stopped me from lusting.
Amen. Amen. Because it starts in the mind, brother. You are correct. That's one of those things Jesus talked about. We might get to that. Probably not tonight, but we're going to get to that down the road, because he said specifically about that, about the lust of a woman, it's already sin. Even then, you already committed adultery. But I'm not going to go there right now. But I do want to backpedal on what you were saying, that, you know, we're going to make mistakes, but we're not going to have habitual sin. That we don't. This is something our lifestyle should change. Now, there's a difference between, you know, we're going to miss the mark, but our life should not be, at some point in our growth and our maturity, sin should not be the regular habit. You know what I'm saying? There should be a change that can be seen in us, in how we work, how we think, how we see the world differently. Even with the lust issue that you get, at some point we have to start to see the people as God sees them. Because the scripture we said, that we went back and talked, he said, love one another. We have to start seeing each other different. We have to see us as a creation of God. We have to see us as God sees us, see us that God wants to use us. And we have to be able to do that when it comes to women, and not that lust that the enemy, that we, you know, we have, that lust, like you said, the lust of the eye is a tool the enemy uses. And, you know, depending where brothers come from, they didn't have a problem with that. That lust got him over with a lot of stuff. Got him someplace to live, got him a woman, a lot of stuff because of his lust. Because once you're in lust, you're going to do a whole lot of stuff to keep that thing going. But that's another show. Amen.
Amen. That's fine,
show. Habitual sin. Amen. But the habitual sin is what we're repenting, that this should not, it should not be. And you add again, like you say, we have to examine ourselves. We know our struggles and our weaknesses. I like what you said. But we have to turn these things over to God. We have to seek God's guidance. And we have to have another thing I wanted to touch on when you were saying, for the brothers, I hope they didn't miss it. You have to have tools in your life, in your toolbox, to overcome and get to that place with God. And again, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and accountability, you know, people around you. You know, how you want to live and what your goals and where you want to be spiritually. You have to have these things around you. Because we do it in the world, we do it for other things. But when it comes to the things of God, we don't want to be transparent. So we don't want to be transparent with each other. And then some of us think we can hide stuff from God. And this is why we struggle. Amen?
Amen. But you know what? What happens with a lot of brothers, they give their testimony, and then somebody judges them from their testimony. The testimony is supposed to be used for power and to glorify God. And here, the flesh, and even those listening in the churches. I remember when I first got clean from alcohol and drugs, and I used to go to churches and I give my testimony, and I would see the difference. People would treat me different after I gave the testimony. But when they saw me as Overseer Davis, they saw me a one way. Then when my testimony came, I could see just as plain as day the different way they treated me. And that's bad. That's how come Jesus tells us to show humility and meekness. Because with that humility and meekness, And look, when he said turn out the cheek, it's not just talking about a physical slap. It's
yes.
talking about those slaps in the face of spiritual mm-hmm. slaps. People that
Amen.
Slap you with your testimony.
Well, you know, that goes back to, again, our scripture and the scripture you talked about. The commandment I give you to love one another. If you
exactly.
hear a man's testimony and you don't understand, okay, let me say this about testimony, because, too, I've been in testimony services that got out of control. I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
I've been in church a while, testimony service sometime ago, you don't even know what are we doing now? You know what I'm saying? But in the midst of giving our testimony, when we hear, because like you said, when they hear you as Overseer Davis, Pastor Davis, you know, they have expectation. Because some folk think they were born and raised in the church and they were destined to be the potentate, and, you know, they never had a life before church and always been. They don't understand that God, you know, God gives advancement and gives God under the anointing to those. Because look, again, if we stick with scripture, none of them brothers, the 12 disciples and Paul, none of them were part of the temple staff. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
They
exactly.
had issues. But we in the church now, we don't want to see people be God lifting them up from the gutter and then hear about their gutter story, because we think they always got it together. But I learned, and I noticed, and I want the brothers out there to hear this clearly. Those who have a problem with hearing people's testimony, that means their transparency in their spiritual walk, they haven't been transparent of the things they've done or what they've come through with anyone. I'll say this about testimonies. Not everybody in the church don't have to know, but somebody should know what God has done for you. Because, you know,
exactly.
But you're not really transparent. You don't have people in your life that you can be transparent with. That's why I talk about accountability groups, when I talk in issues Christian men's talk and men's groups, holding each other accountable. Those who know your dirt, those who know your strengths and weaknesses, those who can pray for you and with you about the things you're doing as a man of God. And we have a lot of, what's the word I'm going to use? I'm trying to think of the word, masquerades. We put up false faces in the church
and
really get delivered from stuff. And that's what I'm saying about the commandments of God. He says repent. He's called us to repentance, and that repentance means we've turned away from that life. We're not just hiding it and covering it up and making it look good with a new suit and matching socks. We're really on the inside. Go ahead, sir.
No, I'm agreeing with you. And you brought back a memory. You know, some people so spiritually high, the old saying, so heavenly high, they no earthly good. I remember when I was coming back into the church, there were some people, you try to have a conversation with them, and you'd be going, oh, today is a wonderful day. Praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, they wouldn't talk to you. They would just say, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. And you'd be looking at them like, what in the world? So I'm saying this for the men that's listening, who have been, the church has been misrepresented, and Jesus has been misrepresented by some people that have witnessed to you or tried to bring you into the fold, but they might have been lacking in showing love that Jesus requires us to show you. I would ask that you seek exactly what Deacon Farr said, accountability partners who can talk to you and give you guidance on what to do when you run into issues within a church, within a family, or within the body of Christ itself. Amen?
Amen. And brothers, let me say this. For the matter where you are in your spiritual walk, remember, the church is full of human beings, sinners
exactly.
in need of a Savior. Saints in the need of maturity and repentance and grace, and they need. That's why it took God's Son to die to redeem all of us, because of who we are in our flesh, because of the sinfulness that's in us. Remember, we're born in sin. No one is born innocent. Even the youngest baby that's born, your grandchild, your newborn, they're sinful until they are taught better and they know better. And their souls is in God's hand. But when they come to a certain age, the gospel is taught to them. That's why we're called to teach our children. We as fathers, we have a responsibility for the spiritual development. The same way we make sure our kids go to school and need to get passing grades and need to graduate high school to prepare them for life, the same thing in the spiritual realm, that we are responsible as fathers to start to build their spiritual growth and prepare them to deal with the attacks the enemy's coming at them at certain ages and times and seasons of life and get that foundation of God and Christ in their life. But we have to be able to live that thing out. We have to be that example. And then we have to have the knowledge, discernment, and wisdom that we can pass it to our children and grandchildren. So, brother, this is why it's a great, it's a call on every man's life. This is why I understand, again, what I say here, it's just Christian Men's Talk and in men's ministry, that we all, God has created us all for purpose and has a reason for us and the lives that are around us and those that we are connected to. But we have to start to step up in the church now. I'm not talking about the sinner man on the street. I'm not talking about the guy that you know that you think he needs Jesus and you think you have it all together. We have a responsibility because we are called by his name. We have chosen to believe, and now if he is truly our Savior and our Lord, we have appreciation and a gratitude, and now we obey him, and we obey his word. Amen?
Well, amen. While you were talking, I was just thinking about some of the brothers that might be listening, and their wives might know more scripture and be able to tout more scripture than them, and I want to tell those brothers to be patient. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and just be patient. And God will show you, says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. So just humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, James 4:10, and he will lift you up.
Amen, amen. And brothers, first of all, we're talking about your wife. You're one flesh. Why y'all can't sit down and study together? That's the thing. Another thing I tell brother this is in a marriage setting, a marriage ministry setting, but are you and your wife studying the word together? That's a simple thing. That will heal a lot of marriages and a lot of issues if you're both in the word together. Even if she could, brothers, I'll say this, because people who know me know this, my wife came to the church before me. She was going to church and involved in doing things in the church and ministry and going to, you know, and studying. A couple years, like I think right now, I can't think how long it is, like 3 or 4 years before I even went normally, and not talk about how long it took me to come to Christ and get to the understanding. But studying together, why are you not studying as every husband out there who's listening to this? If you got this link on your thing, this is the time. We're about 30 minutes in. Are you and your wife in the Word together on a regular routine? It don't have to be every week, every day, whatever fits. Are you and your wife spending time in the Word? And how about this? Your intimacy with your spouse and your time in the Word with your spouse, which one is getting more attention? I'll leave it right there. I'm not going to go any deeper right there. I'll let y'all figure that out. But... You know, but again, this is Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Farr. This is Pastor Lonnie Davis, and we're here to encourage you and help in your Christian walk, to be leaders in the home, in the church, and in the community as husbands, fathers, and sons. Amen. Pastor, I want to go. I'm going to jump to one more scripture here because we got a lot, but I want to go to I'm going to stay in chapter 4, in Matthew chapter 4. We're going to jump down to 19. So let me, I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to come to you, and you can get, because we was at, excuse me, let me hand this Bible, man. I'm using electronic Bible. I'm going to use my paper Bible next episode. All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 4:17, it says, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Chapter 18, and Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee and saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net at the sea, and for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. So this is the call and command that Jesus gave the two brothers, to follow him. So as disciples, he gives that call for us to follow him. And this is important because when we talk about that following him, Are we, again, being obedient to the word that we're given? Are we following as obedient? Because remember, Paul and his brother, he called them, and they dropped their nets. They dropped what they was doing, if we continue to read. So we're talking about following. Jesus is calling us to come here, to come now. He called them into their discipleship and called them into their apostleship, but that comes later on. But he called them, and they responded. So when Jesus calls us and tells us to follow him, are we responding as he commanded? What do you say, sir?
Well, chosen and called. That's what we all say. We use this Christianese language, but as you just said, reading those scriptures, that lets you know right then and there. Jesus had a purpose and a plan. And each and every one of us, like you said, when you gave your testimony about yourself just now, and I gave a testimony about a little bit about me. So once you give those testimonies, you open the door to be able to call somebody else who may be experiencing some of the things that you've already experienced. And as you said, as you mature, you know how much to give them, how much to fish, how much bait to put on the hook. Because if we're going to be fishers of men, we have to use the bait of the word. We have to listen to them. And we have to humble ourselves and be listeners and be patient and wait for the opportunity to call and choose different people. Everybody's not called and chosen. So, like, I remember one time this pastor in church told me to go pray for someone. I said, excuse me, pastor. I said, I don't feel the Holy Spirit called me to go pray for that particular person. So I waited. I waited about 3 minutes. Then the Lord had me go, pray for somebody totally different. And I went and laid hands on that person, prayed for that person. The person looked up at me, and it was somebody that I knew. Had no idea who he was at the altar. And so sometimes we have to have an ear to hear God and not an ear to hear man.
Amen. Well, again, you know, that's what, the Spirit is going to lead us all truth. The Spirit is going to give us wisdom and discernment, you know. And again, that's why, like, it's a couple of things you said. I want to come circle back to, because God's going to give you the bait. We call it bait, but God's going to give you. If you have a heart to evangelize, you have a heart to share the gospel, and when you call, God's going to call and use you in a specific time and season. Because God knows. Nothing is happening in your life, brothers, that God doesn't know. Even from when you got saved, from when you were born to when you got saved to now, what's going on with you as you are in the church, as you are part of the body of Christ, and these things that are going on, these opportunities that you're getting. He's calling you to follow him. That means being obedient to the Spirit. He's calling you into the body of Christ and for a purpose. Because the body, there's many members, and there's something for us all to be doing. But we have to be, again, we have to be obedient to our local ministries and our pastors, because pastors are given a vision and a direction for that individual congregation. And if you're a faithful man and a mature man, you're going to follow that, because that's what you're called to. But then, you know, let me say it like this. Because my first pastor earlier in my faith told me every person should have a ministry in the church and a ministry outside the church, I mean your personal ministry. What's most passionate for you to do? It can be serving, you know, homeless, jail ministry. There's other things that we have to commit our time to, but also we have to be faithful to the local congregation also. So, again, man, when Jesus calls you to follow, he's going to give you some things, and he's going to ask. Now, let me say this, too. He's going to ask you to sacrifice, okay? It's going to be different. You can't use it. I've learned this over my years in my faith and watching. God's going to ask you. You're going to forsake some other things. You're going to give up some other things. He's going to purge and prune some things out of your life so that he can be there, so that he can be the main thing in your life. And you got to be able to do that. He told John and them to put down the nets and come follow him.
Mm-hmm.
So these men were fishers. They were professional fishers. In those of you who know Israel, or maybe in the they were professional fishermen. That was their job. That was their gig. That's how they took care of their families. And Jesus called them from that to come follow him for 3 years. And anyone who knows the gospel and knows the story, when they got after he was crucified, they got discouraged and went back. And Jesus had to remember, had to remind them what he told them. But that's, again, that's a whole other teaching we can do. But God has called us to follow him, and we have to be in a place now to just follow him. And he's put things in our life. When we say follow him, like I said, obedient to our pastor. Because most of us, we find a church where we like, wherever we like the pastor, the people, whatever. But now, as men of God, we have to start getting with the vision and the mission. There's a time to be, there's a time of babes, and there's a time to grow. There's a time when you are, I used to call it a consumer, and now you are part of, you're a producer. You're from consumer to production. You're part of the fulfillment of the mission and the vision of the mission. We all come in as babes and need to be fed and grown and grow spiritually, but then God has grown us now to come alongside. You know, Paul had a lot of, if you look at Paul, the Apostle Paul, he wrote about a lot of people that he thanked that came alongside him, were co-laborers. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah. At some point, we have to grow to be co-laborers with our pastor and our leaders as church members. And that's where this is where it says, follow me. Because this is how we're going to get there, how we're going to fulfill the mission of the church. Just imagine if Peter, Andrew, and any of the other, well, we know one of them rolled out on them, but where would we be if Peter and Andrew were disobedient? Again, if you read the Gospels, you'll see that their obedience to what Christ called them from in this moment, when he said, follow me, is how, where we are now, because of their obedience, where the church is and where Christianity went. Not that God couldn't use anybody else, but he chose them and used them. And look at the works that Peter were able to do and the things he did for God to further the faith. Amen? So we Amen. Have to be able to, now are we going to follow or what are we going to do? Are we just going to stand around or are we going to follow? And every man has to judge it for himself and figure out where he is in that walk. And brothers, let me say, I'll say this, I'm coming to you, Pastor. It's, you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in the church, how long you've been saved, 6 months, a month, a year, last Sunday, or 15 years, 20 years. You know, there ain't no retirement in God. But, you know, that's for some brothers, I need to stir that up in the spirit, too. There ain't a retirement. I've been saved long enough. I've done that. We already done that. And that right there, that's the enemy. That's the enemy. Because if the truth be told, there's people who are looking at you. They're not necessarily looking at the pastor. They may be looking at you and seeing what you're doing. Where are you when the church is called to gather? Where are you when the pastor says we're going to evangelize in the street or we're going to go do an outreach? And they look and they get there and there ain't no mature men there. All right, Pastor, I had to let that sink in. Pastor Davis, what do you say, sir?
Oh, I'm in total agreement. You use the word encourage, and sometimes I use the word challenge. I use the word challenge. I use the word correct. I use the word chastise. Some men like it hard, man. Everybody's not going to be encouraged with a soft spoken.
All right. Okay, here we go.
Yeah. All men not going to be like I'm telling you, I used to do men's conferences, and I would have the brothers, two brothers standing beside me, looking like they were Muslims with bow ties on and sunglasses, standing beside me, and I'm a Christian minister, because I wanted to show strength at a men's fellowship. I don't want to get up there and show an effeminate spirit. I want to show a masculine spirit in Christ Jesus. And so,
yes,
so a lot of men don't come to the church because there's too many feminine spirits in the church. And these feminine spirits think that's being humble and think that's being meek. No, That's not being Christ-like. Christ, when he went into the temple, he turned the tables over. He chastised. He called them vipers. I mean, Jesus was something else, man. And a lot of times people forget that.
Amen. Yeah, you know what? This is why I invite you to come on the Issues Christian Men's Talk, because I know who you are. I know the things. And this is what we have to do. We have to bring the masculinity. You're right. Some places, they need masculinity, and you'd be surprised masculinity would draw men. You understand what I'm saying? Because you're right. You know, they come off as the feminine. Some brothers just don't, you know, they're very uncomfortable. I don't like doing this, but I'm going to go back to when we was in the world, we knew the guys that wasn't, you know, they were flaming. I'm going to use that word. We didn't hang out with them because that wasn't what we was about and wanted to be around. You know, we wouldn't necessarily want to go, you know, do something, you know what I'm saying? We wouldn't necessarily want to be bothered with them, but we didn't want to be bothered with them. We wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't attack them and be vicious and stuff like that. But I'm not hanging around a guy who's got feminine ways, because that's not about, I don't want to be, that's not what I am. So it's the same thing in the church sometimes. We know, I could use a whole lot of adjectives, but brothers who are listening know what I'm talking about. Because if you hung around with a certain crew of guys, you did not hang around with a certain crew of other guys. Okay? Simple as that. But in the church, you're right. Humility and humble don't mean effeminate. It don't mean soft-spoken, humble, lovable shoeshine. I used to call it humble, lovable shoeshine boy. You know what I'm saying? Some of us need to be, you know, the masculinity needs to be seen in the church. And the other part of that is, too, brothers, we have to remember, what are our sons seeing? Because I'm going to do something I usually don't do, but I'm going to call out, you know, music ministry and Baptists and some other folk for the people they let be worship leaders and how they carry it, you know, what they be doing, because That's something where, you know, they get the attention in their infeminine ways. They walk
and
they look like
leadership.
Women, sound like women, but then they get recognized and they get the acclaim. So they think that's the way you have to act in church. I'm gonna put it right there because I didn't want to go down this path, but you started it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, but that's real talk, and once the men hear real talk, then they don't mind coming here to hear it. Sometimes we skate over the truth, and the Holy Spirit had to be guiding us, because we said you have to be called and chosen. A lot of times, because of our sensitivity to other human beings in this culture in America that has opened the doors to a lot of different type of lifestyles, and the church succumbs to the culture of this day, even though they may know that they should not succumb to this culture, they eventually get won over. And I'm talking about leadership in different churches, because they want to grow the church, they want to be a mega church, and this brother is talented and gifted and can bring the spirit up out of you. He can hit that keyboard like nobody else.
Amen. That's what we're going to call it. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I just leave us with that.
Well, literally, I'm going to leave this too, because we're going to come to a wrap up here. I'm going to give you a closing statement. But remember, Satan, what was Satan's job? What was Satan's job before the fall? Come on, because again, if we read scripture, what was Satan's job? And now, look at where we are on what, when you talk about the compromise, and we allow it because we want to draw people, we want to fill up the seats, we want to fill up our whatever, and we allow certain things and compromise godly Christian standards, and it is more than how they present themselves. I'm talking about folk who were in real sin. They were committing these sins, but yet every Sunday every service, every convocation. But they were living the lifestyle contrary to the Word of God. I'm not talking about, you know, just coming off with appearances. That's one thing. That's one issue. That's a separate issue because Paul talks about that, effeminate ways and effeminate men. But we're talking about actual acts that were an abomination to God, but were overlooked because of, like you said, talents. But that wasn't my show. But today we was talking about the commandments of God and keeping the commandments of God, and we touched on two of them when God called, and when he gave the call to repent and when he gave the call to follow him. And these were in Matthew chapter 4, and we were talking about that. And that's what we want to touch on today, brothers, too, that there's commandments, there's some specific commands or instructions that God gave in his word that we should be obedient and live by. And this is not just a one-time thing. This is a lifestyle. Are we living a lifestyle of repentance? Is our lifestyle reflective that we are following him in every area of our lives? We're just a Christian for 2 hours on Sunday and maybe Bible study. Are we living our faith every day, every moment, all circumstances, with our wife, with our kids, on our jobs, and in our communities? Are we being the light that he's called us to be? And are we, you know, being? Are we leaving ourselves open? You know, Pastor Davis, you said that. Are we prepared to be used in the circumstance in our life? And are we in that place where God can use us wherever we are? Amen? Well, Pastor Davis, let me say this, brother. I appreciate you for taking time out and being part of the show. Again, I'm doing these episodes, and anytime you have an unction that you want to come back, just give me a call. We can set it up and do the recording. And again, brothers, if you receive this on your text or if you listen online at Issues Christian Men's Talk, that's another place you can reach out to us. Again, as the churches are opening up and men's ministry, brothers, if you're doing any kind of men's ministry gathering, Bible study, coming together, please let me know. Reach out to me. Post it on Facebook. Or go to Twitter, the Issue Men's Talk on Twitter. Let me know. And again, if I text you this, you have my number. So let me know so we can put it out there. Because you never know. There's a reason, the opportunity, brothers, from all over the Christian faith. Remember, the Christian faith is deep and wide. And every man in every church, unfortunately, doesn't have a men's ministry or gather their men together. So if you're having an event where brothers can come together and encourage from one another, pray for one another, and discuss the word and reason together and just build those relationships, that you never know. You know, I'm connected with a lot of brothers who don't go to the church I go to on Sunday. But these are men of faith. Pastor Davis is one that, you know, I can keep around and have around and be able to engage with when time be. But this is what we need, because this walk as a man of God is not a walk you want to do alone, because you don't want to get separated. Even if your church doesn't have a men's ministry and you have problems getting the brothers to come together, find a place where you can be around some male companionship, a fellowship, accountability. Amen. Pastor Davis, I'm going to give you the last word, and you can close us out in prayer. And again, brother, I appreciate you for taking time out and coming on and being part of this episode. Amen.
Amen. First, I'd like to thank you for inviting me here again tonight. And I want to especially tell each and every one of us that when we love one another, and we have to show love. Love is beyond our understanding and comprehension, because God is love. The Bible tells us and teaches us that he who loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And all love comes from God, because love is giving unselfishly, not expecting anything in return. And what happens is we lose love when we have expectations. Once you have an expectation of that love, then guess what? It's not really love anymore. So I would leave with that thought. Easy to obtain, harder to maintain. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And James 4:10 again. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. As we go to the Lord in prayer, just no matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, whether you're drinking milk, as the metaphor says, drinking milk of the word, or you're eating the meat of the word, no matter where you are, don't let the meat choke you. and don't let the milk stay sustaining you. And so as we go into prayer, just think about that. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus, thanking you for sending your Holy Spirit and teaching us how to love one another. Lord, you say don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some do. Lord, even Deacon Farr's radio ministry is allowing us to assemble together in unity, no matter what denomination, no matter what belief system, no matter what doctrines are number one, no matter what gift overrides whatever gift. We come together to speak truth and allow your Holy Spirit to guide us. Deacon Farr might have wanted to go one way, but your Holy Spirit took us many different paths tonight. And Lord, as we trust in you, we know that you're going to guide, guard, and govern us on the right path. And Lord, we know that somebody that heard this word tonight and heard this message tonight needed to hear exactly what they heard. Lord, I even apologize if I offended anyone because of my bluntness in the manner in which I take my faith seriously in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to thank Deacon Farr and bless him through your Holy Spirit. Bless his ministry outside the church. And Lord, keep him, protect him, guide him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.